If you've got your Bibles or your apps, please search or turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to be looking at a well-known few verses, but I'm going to focus for the rest of the sermon on a slightly different aspect we'd normally do with this. But Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16. It was he, that's Jesus, who came some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So this morning I'm wanting to concentrate on building a loving community of people that is centered on Jesus. That we are building a body of believers that are under one head, and that head is Christ. And I'm going to look at five areas this morning, all linked in with community or family. Firstly, we are a community of Jesus. We are a community that wants to be strong. We are a community that is led. We are a community that is growing, and we are a community that is vibrant. So firstly, the community of Jesus. So much of church life is to do with relationships. People come into this community where there is a presence of God and where there is genuine love outlived amongst its members. And as church members, we have relationships with one another. And in a sense, we are the faces of God to the society where he has placed us. We have that awesome responsibility to be representing God wherever we go, and hopefully showing them a good light of what God is, of the love God has for us, and influencing people towards Jesus. The other main relationship we have is obviously with God, with Jesus. We are not just a bunch of nice people. If you want a bunch of nice people, then go and join a golf club or the Rotary Club. But we are, hopefully, a bunch of nice people, but we are different because we are centered upon Jesus. We are a community built around Jesus as he is our head. We gather to worship him. We gather to hear his teaching. And we want to have a loving community. As people come in, they're accepted, they're befriended, and they are led towards Jesus. And we are all on that journey together. We want to grow and become more mature in Christ. And together we can help each other on that journey. As a church, we are on a mission to show the glory of God to the world. What an awesome task that is. And we are about people. Yes, we have projects, we have events, we have plans, we have things put in place, but we want to be connecting with people and showing them Jesus, pointing them towards Jesus, so that we all mature, working together and continue to be transformed. Paul, when he writes to the Colossians church in verse 1:28, he says, "We proclaim him," that's Jesus, "admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." It's an apostolic mandate that we are to be growing up and becoming perfect in Christ. And we are all on that journey together. And we can help each other as we're on that journey. When people come into church, everyone needs to feel safe and secure so they can relax, they can allow God to speak to them. Everyone needs to be known. That's personally known and intimately known. People my age probably remember the program Cheers, the comedy, and the idea that going to a place where everybody knows your name, that place of comfort where you're known. To be genuinely loved as the children of God that we are together. We are to be genuinely loved and feel that loving from each other and from God. To be really valued, that we can be appreciated. And as we appreciate it, we can grow in that soil of appreciation because we know that we are being valued. That we can be encouraged. It builds us up. It lifts our heads as we get that word of encouragement for something that we have done. It spurs us on to great things. And we need to be taught, not just a doctrine, but actually how you then apply that to our lives. So these are things that people are needing. When they come into a community like ours, they need these things. Safe and secure, be known, be loved, be valued, be encouraged, and be taught. Secondly, we want to be strong. We want to have a strong community here. So that when people come in, they know that we have the strength to help them, that we're not weak in ourselves. So we have foundations. As people come in from perhaps a non-Christian background, we have things like Alpha, 10-week course exploring the Christian faith so that people with no background can have their questions answered, they can discuss things, and come to that place of accepting Christ as their Lord and Saviour. We have water baptism, which follows on from that, an acknowledgement of Christ as Lord and Saviour, that first step of discipleship, of moving forward. And in the last year, we've also ran Freedom in Christ, where we can explore and get to grips with who we are in Christ. And get hold of those promises of who we are in Christ and have the freedom because we accept and understand what God has done for us. So that's how they're the foundations of getting strong. But we can move on from there, and I'm going to use this word, discipleship. Now, discipleship may mean many things to different people, and I think sometimes it's an overhyped word. People can get quite... discipleship. It's not, I don't feel it's that kind of word, but rather making a difference and influencing someone's life for Jesus. That's how I kind of define discipleship. So Sunday morning, when you come in, when you're having coffee with someone, you're hearing the preached word, you're hearing contributions during the meeting, the Spirit of God can use those times and you can be discipled in that process. It's part of you growing up in Christ. We also have our midweek groups, where again, you can get much closer together. I often describe the Sunday as a shop window. You get an idea of the church, but it's in the small groups when you break down, where you can really connect with people. You can pray together. You can follow up on prayers that have been said and really be established. But it's also what most people classically would think of discipleship is meeting one-to-one, over a coffee, over a lunchtime, asking questions, encouraging each other, and seeing them move on. And some of the questions that I've found have really, really been helpful to ask in these sorts of relationships are things like, how is your walk with God? It's a very open-ended question. Are you spending time with God? Are you praying? Are you reading your word? How are things with God? How is your health? How are you doing just physically amongst yourself? Is there something we can pray for and you'd help with? What books are you reading? What is it that's influencing you? Are you enjoying them? Are you getting things out of it? How can we talk that through? What's your diet like? What are you drinking? How are your drinking allowances? Are you drinking too much? Not enough? Are you having a healthy diet? Are you balanced? This sort of thing. Very open and honest questions. Not all about spiritual stuff. Your finances. How are your finances going? Are they causing you stress? Have you set up good systems to manage your finances? Or are you always finding there's too much month at the end of the money? Relationships. How you get on with people? Different stages of life. It might be with your kids. It might be with your parents. It might be with your spouse. It might be with a girlfriend, boyfriend situation. but how are things going with the relationships? And finally, your use of time. Are you spending all your time watching TV? Are you spending all your time on Facebook? Are you wasting how are you using your time? These are really good questions to be asking someone and to be thinking through. Well, how am I doing? I want to be spurred on to become mature in Christ. So these kind of questions are things that will help. Are you getting close to God? How's your health? Books? Diet and drink? Finances? Relationships? Use of time? And you might think, gosh, that really sounds difficult to do. Each of us has a small part to play in helping each other. Each of us has a small part. It's not that one person says, right, I've got to do everything now. We each have a small part that we can play in helping each other mature in Christ. We don't have to have all the answers. Praise God. Oh, you can only give what you have. That might be knowledge. Oh, that's too difficult a question. I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to go and see someone about that and get some help. That shows real humility. To go and seek for help in that. But we have all got experiences of God. And there's a great passage at the beginning of 2 Corinthians where it says, "The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." So we go through life. We have issues in life and we get through them. We can then learn from that. And when we get alongside somebody, we can share how God has helped us in our time of trouble. Even as people have shared this morning some things. Go through hard times in life, well, I can now be used by God to help others. With the comfort I've received from God, I can pass it on. So we're to help each other. So if you are a mature Christian here this morning, who are you passing things on? Who are you helping? Who are you giving comfort to with the things that you have received? And if you're, and for everyone, who are you receiving from? Who are asking you sometimes these awkward questions? Do you have that kind of relationship where you can ask, have those questions answered? So we're a strong community. Yes, we're on a mission together. But the great news is we can have some fun as well. This has been emphasized to me a couple of times over the last few months. So I've had some discussions with some other church leaders. No names are going to be used here. But this week, Alan and I met with someone over breakfast who we basically had to go and tell him, "You are preaching for too long." No names. And because we had such a good relationship with this guy, we could bring this to him and we had a laugh about it. We pulled each other's legs about it and had a great laugh together. We had fun together, but the message was communicated. And he knows that next time, if he comes here again, there will be a stopwatch running. But because of that relationship together, we're on a mission together, but we can have fun and a relationship together, we can get through those sorts of issues. Another person who came to speak here a few months ago, he said after he'd been here, he said to me, "I so enjoyed this morning. You guys are so relaxed together. You had a real laugh together." And I'm like, yeah, you know, what? Whatever. But it seems like the church he comes from, which he is an elder of as well, it's all about targets and pushing and driven and a kind of a business environment that's in the church. I'm thinking, no, I want some fun. Yeah. We're on a mission together, but we can have some fun. That doesn't mean we don't have focus, we don't have aims we want to get to, we don't have vision. Actually, as a family together, we want to go on as a strong community and take all that God has in store for us. We're also a led community. We're a community that's led. I think someone shared away this morning from John 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep, well, they know me. Jesus is a shepherd. He leads us. He looks after and he cares for the sheep. He cares for all the sheep. He looks after them when they're sick and he leads them out of harm's way and he brings them into places where they can feed, they can relax and are safe. Not only is he a shepherd, he's actually a good shepherd. He's good at his job. He's good at it. He knows best. And more, we are learning to trust that in our lives. To trust that Jesus knows best. Now, I know many here are going through difficult times. I want to encourage you. You have a good shepherd. You have a good shepherd that's leading you forward. One that you can trust in. It's not a hired hand that at the first sign of trouble is going to run off. But he is a shepherd with a staff, and he is a good shepherd. And he's looking after you, he's leading you forward. And there are also under shepherds. This will be read in Ephesians 4. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, small group leaders. Under shepherds with authority from the good shepherd to help lead and to guide. And we, our aim is to get all, every sheep is to be dependent upon God. Not dependent upon their best friend. Not dependent on the latest author that's coming out from the States or something. But dependent on Jesus. To focus our lives and build our lives on a foundation that is Jesus. We're also to be led by the Spirit. If you look around this room here, you'll find that Jesus is not here. He left this world, but he promised another one. He said it was good for him to go so that a counselor, a helper, would come to us. That is the promised Holy Spirit, the encourager, the comforter, the guide, the empowerer, the giver of gifts. Jesus is not here, but we are led as a church by God's Spirit as he leads and guides us. Fourthly, we are a growing community. We want to be a strong community, but not one that is just inward looking, but one that looks out and reaching out to others. If we were not a strong community, it would be hard to be able to draw people in and take them on a journey with us. We have to be strong to do that. And we are going to be ones that are naturally growing and producing fruit. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We are a fruitful people because we are in Christ. And as we reach out to the world, we have some good news to share. In times of stress, in times of uncertainty, we can be a strong community holding out a light of hope to people in the world. The big question is, can the future be different? And we have a clear answer to that. Yes, it can be changed by the power and love of God. Now, we still see terrible consequences of man's sin in the world. As we've just been horrified to see what's happened in Oslo and Utøya. But we have a God who is in charge. Yeah. We have a God that we can hold out to this needy world and say there is hope. There is a future in Christ. And as we grow, we multiply. And we have issues of growth. We have what you might call growing pains as we kind of catch up in some ways with the growth that we have. So look at an increase in leadership, having more small group leaders, having more staff on board. So James recently, Peter at the end of, in September time, coming on board as a member of staff. Serving teams. We need to expand our serving teams. We've recently had requests for people to serve coffee, people to help out set up the meeting hall here, people in children's and in youth's work. And I've always found the best way to get connected in a church is to join a serving team. If I want to get to know someone, I could have a coffee with them outside, but it can feel a bit intense sometimes, just talking one-to-one. But if you're working together on a particular project, if you're putting chairs out, you can be talking to each other, you get to know each other as you do a job, and it makes the whole job of getting to know people much, much easier as you work together on something. So if you are not involved in a serving team, it's a great way to strengthen the community here, to help this community grow and develop. And if you have an idea of a new area of service the church does not have, please do share it. I've always mentioned that to people, and I was recently in a meeting, and someone said that their church had an entrepreneurial culture. And I went, ooh, doesn't that sound fancy? And they explained it, and they said, well, if someone's got an idea, they come and tell us what it is, and we might do. That's what we do. So we now have, it's got a good name, an entrepreneurial culture in the church. We want to listen to good ideas and move them forward. Fifthly, we want to be a vibrant community. We want to be moving on, and that each part in the body of Christ is different. Each part has its role. Each part is essential. Were you not thrilled last week when we took up an offering and the kids of this church raised £260? That, the body of Christ working together. And isn't it great? We've got a generation coming up that of their pocket money, they're being generous and they're giving in to things of God. They've got an ownership of what they're giving into. They've got a sense of responsibility and being part of things because they have given their pocket money. They've forgone their can of Coke or whatever it is, the Mars bars, because they have got hold of something. They've got hold of what God is wanting to do, and they're giving into that. The body of Christ working together is absolutely wonderful. We want to be part of a winning team. The Bible uses the body as an analogy. I want to use HTC High Road as an analogy as well. The Tour de France finishes today. Some of us have been avidly following the Tour de France. It finishes today after 3 weeks of racing through France and a bit of Italy. It started with 200, it's about 200 men in that race. They will cover 3,430.5 kilometres. If you want that in miles, it's a lot. And they work in teams of 9 people. And there's a team, HTC Columbia, that has a British person in it. From the Isle of Man, called Mark Cavendish. Mark Cavendish is the fastest sprinter in the world. And he, hopefully, by the end of today, will be the first British person to be awarded the green jersey in the Tour de France. It's on TV tonight, or this afternoon. He works as part of a team, and his team of 8 men will be travelling something like 120 miles every day, looking after and protecting Mark until about 200 metres from the end of that particular stage. The team sacrifices themselves along the way. And I want to show you a clip of what happened 2 years ago at the end of the Tour de France and the Champs-Élysées in Paris.
The tactics right, there's no doubt. Robin McEwen, who sadly isn't in the race this year, said, guys, if you don't break up the teamwork of Colombia, you'll never win. Here comes the counter-attacker, 1 kilometre to go, and Hincapié has swung the line across to the other side. They've realised it, Julian Dean has taken Farah in there, and alongside him is the green jersey.
Second position is Mark Renshaw, third position Cavendish. Renshaw looking over his shoulder to see where Cavendish is. Hincapié has the power to take them right into the final bend, and that's what he's going to do. He wants to make sure that Cavendish doesn't get swamped, and there's another move. There's a challenge coming back there from Garmin Slipstream over on the inside.
Well, as they turn now to line up for the finish, look at the speed of the riders over the road. It was a very tight corner, that, as they line up. They can see the finish now. This is Mark Renshaw, the fastest leader man in the business, and there's the missile. He's locked onto his wheel now. This is going to be a formality. Win number 6 for Mark Cavendish. There's nobody can match the speed of this amazing kid. He has got the victory, and no British cyclist has ever, ever been remotely close to winning 6 stages of the Tour de France.
Nobody cheered! Now, hopefully that's going to be repeated this afternoon. The speeds they're attaining there, about 50 miles an hour on a bike, on the flat. Now, I'm a cyclist. My maximum speed is 46 miles an hour on the moors above Stanhope, going slightly downhill with a tailwind. But think of the teamwork. There's 8 men that during that whole race, that might be 5 hours long, have protected Mark. They've kept the wind off him. They've made sure he's had drinks and food. They've protected him. Mark Renshaw, the lead-out man there, he takes him right to the end, protects him from the wind, and then that last 200 metres, Cavendish kicks. He could not win it by himself. As a church, we need each other. We need to be on a team that's winning. We have won in Christ. We have won. But as we work as a team together, we can achieve so much more than we can apart. That we are to honour one another. We are to give up things for one another, sacrifice things, prefer one another, not putting people down. Since Marc Dupont's visit, we've heard much of being a Kingdom Resource Centre. I think one of the greatest resources we have is you. You are the greatest resource. We're to invest in that resource. We're to look after that resource. And there are many verses in the Bible that speak about one another, that we must do things one another. And it indicates what sort of community we are to be aiming for, what sort of family we are to be aiming for as we one another. We do things one to another. And I've asked various people to read out some of these one anothering verses. There's about a dozen people. They're going to stand up in order. They're going to just tell you what reference is. They're going to give you the verse and then finish with the reference as well. So let's start with the first one, which is Sandra.
Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13.
1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
Hebrews 10:24. Consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 10:24.
1 Peter 4:9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 4:9.
1 John 3:11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another.
Thanks, guys. Well done, thank you. Take them out. There are so many, that's just a selection. There are so many verses speak about one anothering, caring, looking after each other so that we are a strong community. We want to be a community of Jesus. We want to be a community of strength. We want to be a community that's led. We want to be a community that's growing and vibrant. We want to be a pastoral community on a mission together. It's not an issue of are we pastoral or are we missional. It's not an either or, it's a both and. We want people who come into a community where the presence of God is genuinely felt and that love is shown to one another. I want us to respond this morning in a more unusual way than normal. If you've been coming along to this church for a while, what is the next step for you? If you think, actually, I want to be part of a winning community, I want to be part of a winning team, I want to put my shoulder to help them in this place, what could you do? I've got a list of about 5 things that you might be interested in pursuing. The first one is to join a small group, one of our midweek meetings. Get involved in a serving team to help us here, predominantly on a Sunday, but not just Sundays. You could consider becoming a member of the church. You might like to consider to financially commit to the church. Or you might want to be baptized. To help you think through that, over this table here, I have some sheets that list those 5 things. And if you're interested in responding in that way, to kind of get more information about a particular aspect, if you go across there, fill in the sheet, and then put it in the high-tech holder for those sheets. No expense has been spared. And please, if you are clearing up at the end of the meeting, it's happened before, just leave it there. But if you want to respond in that way, perhaps you think, I've been coming along a while. If you've just turned up today, don't think I'm trying to thrust a broom into your hand. Okay? We want you to feel be part of the community here. And if you're part of the community, then think, actually, no, I'm part now. Now what do I want to do? Those 5 things are some ideas. There could be so many other things. Or maybe you've been here for a long time. You might want to look at that as well. But if you've been here a long while, I want to challenge you about who are you inputting? Who are you sharing the good things that God has done in your life with? Is there someone that you can come alongside and that you can help them? We all have a part to play in seeing this church grow and develop. Let's embrace that with joy. And let's see where God will lead us next. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have put such a wonderful heart in this church. It's such a privilege, Lord, to be part of this church. We thank you for all that you've done over these years. And we look forward with eager anticipation as you take us forward, as you increase our faith, as we all come together and take a step of faith together, as the body of Christ grows under the headship of Jesus. May your glory be seen in this place. Amen. Amen. Amen.